gentlemen moderators, Dr. Elder Rear, ladies and gentlemen, I'm again happy to be back to discuss with you the question, Jesus the Messiah is the only begotten Son of God, was crucified for our or for the sins of the world, and the New Testament is God's final revelation. One of the observations that Dr. Elder Rear made was that oftentimes Christians and Jews come together and exclude Muslims. Well, I certainly would not want to exclude them from a discussion because I have engaged in it, or I am engaging in it with him, but I'd like for the Jews to know that I surely don't want to exclude them. If you know of any of them that would like to deny a similar proposition, we'll be glad to discuss it with them as well. But I would like to continue with the discussion that we had, that Jesus, the Messiah, is the Son of God, and that he was crucified for our sins. I was talking earlier about the fact that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. The record shows, and we gave the testimony that shows very plainly, that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. In reply to that, Dr. Elder Rear said that Jesus never made that claim, or at any rate, you never read those words coming from the lips of Jesus. And yet, if you look on the chart, you'll find John chapter 9, where Jesus had healed a man, and then said to the man, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The man answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee." Furthermore, in John chapter 10, after that Jesus had made the claim in verse 30, "I and the Father are one," the Jews said they were going to stone him because he had blasphemed, making himself God. In reply to that, Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, "Thou blasphemest," listen, "because I said, I am the Son of God." Coming from the lips of Jesus, Jesus made the claim, "I am the Son of God." And we showed how he worked miracles to prove the claim. Miracles do not of themselves prove godhood, but Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and then worked miracles in proof of it. No, the virgin birth does not make him the Son of God. The fact that he was the Son of God required the virgin birth. And that was the point that we have over on the chart, one of the factors that lead us to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus made the claim. And furthermore, we said that we did not have in mind any kind of a physical relationship, but rather that in claiming to be the Son of God, Jesus was claiming to be divine. Let me have chart number one, Jackie, please. On this chart, we hope to show just exactly what Jesus meant when he made the claim that he was the Son of God. Turn out the lights back there, please, sir. You'll notice that we're making the point, Jesus' relationship with the Father did not begin with his earthly existence. In John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus said to the Father, "Glorify thou me with a glory that I had with thee before the world was." The point that we're making is the relationship between Jesus and the Father did not begin on earth. Jesus said, "I had glory with thee before the world was." In John 16, verse 28, Jesus said, "I came forth from the Father." In John 3:13, Jesus said, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven." I'm saying that Jesus' relationship did not begin on earth, but he had that relationship with the Father before the world was made. I believe we could show really that the relationship between them did not begin at all, but rather that it was eternal. Jesus was not created by the Father. But that's on another subject, and maybe some other time we can talk about that. Jesus' relationship with the Father did not begin on earth. Jesus' relationship with the Father was special, and it was unique. Jesus said in John 14:6, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And listen to him in Matthew 11 when he said in verses 27 through 28, "No man knoweth the Father save the Son. Neither doth any man know the Son, save the Father." The point that I'm making is that that relationship between Jesus and the Father is so special and so unique that Jesus said, "No man knows the Father except the Son." Not only is it a special and unique relationship, but that unique relationship is between Father and Son. No man knoweth the Father save the Son. And it is Father and Son in a unique way. Jesus does not pray our Father. He teaches the disciples to pray our Father, but he does not. It is my Father. And so in John 5, as we said earlier, Jesus said, "My Father worketh until now." And the Jews were going to kill him because he made God his own Father and made himself equal with God. We say again, when Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, he was not claiming to be merely a servant of God. He was not claiming to be merely a messenger of God. He was that all right enough. But he was claiming to be equal with God, and the Jews so understood him. Equal as far as deity is concerned, though subordinate as far as function is concerned. Jesus made the claim that it was Father and Son in a unique way. Therefore he said, "I and the Father are one." And the Jews were going to kill him because he called God his own Father. The Jews so understood Jesus' claim when he claimed to be the Son of God that he was claiming deity, and that's what we meant a while ago when we said when Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, he was making a claim to deity. Now, it is true that the word Son appears in the Bible in the ways that Dr. Elder Rear said, but that is not the claim that Jesus made. Now, it is true that he was a messenger of God, he was an apostle of God, he was all those things, but he was not all those things only. He was more than that, and he claimed to be more than that. And that was the point of the chart that I had a while ago. That is that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God in a unique way, and it was a claim to deity. He said, "I and my Father are one." And then in John chapter 10, that we were just quoting, and when he said, "I and my Father are one," the Jews sought to kill him because he made God his own Father. And the point that I'm making is that then in chapter 10, verses 34 through 36, Jesus justifies himself by saying he was the Son of God. And then in chapter 10, verses 37 through 38, Jesus justifies himself in saying that he is one with the Father. That is, he is one in deity. Jesus therefore made a claim, not just to servanthood, not just to apostleship, but rather to deity, God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Elder Rear did not notice the proof that I gave, objective, verifiable, historical evidence in proof of the claim that Jesus is divine, that he is indeed the Son of God. I raise the question, please tell us, do these scriptures teach that Jesus is the Son of God in the sense that he claimed Godhood? He claimed to be deity. But our proposition not only says, okay, you can turn that off, our proposition not only says that Jesus is the Son of God, but it says that he was crucified. I raise the question, how did Christ die? And I call to your attention the claim that Jesus made. And if you'll look in your New Testament, in the passages that we have outlined here on the chart, I believe that you'll see that the claim that Jesus made was that, number one, he would be killed. In Mark chapter 8 and in verse 31, the record says that Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days be raised. Then if you look at Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 21, the record will tell us on this occasion, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised. Then if you'll look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, you'll find that Jesus made this statement. He says very plainly that he is going to Jerusalem, but he said that he will be delivered to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. The point that I'm making is Jesus said that he was going to be crucified. And the New Testament writers make it abundantly clear that he was. In John chapter 19, we have an eyewitness account of one who claimed to have seen him on the cross, who saw him when the spear was put in his side, and he says, and says it in language too clear to misunderstand. Let me read it to you. "He that hath seen hath borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you also may believe." The point that I'm making is,
Jesus said he would be crucified. The New Testament writers say he was crucified. John said he saw him crucified. He watched him put the spear in his side. He saw blood and water come out. He said, I am an eyewitness. We told you about the young lady in Peoria, Illinois. She said, I saw Richard Speck murder those seven girls. And on that basis, an eyewitness testimony, they found him guilty. I request, Dr. Elder Rear, that he examine the testimony. And if that testimony will not stand the test, let us know why it will not. Do not just assert that, well, that's just made up. Prove that it is. John claimed that it was an eyewitness that he saw it done. In Acts chapter 2, we have another account of eyewitness testimony. On this occasion, the Apostle Peter said, him that Jesus was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. He appealed to these people and he said himself that they knew that he was telling the truth. The point is, how did Christ die? Jesus said he would be crucified. The New Testament says he was crucified, and historians also agree with that testimony. I mean both ancient and modern. It doesn't matter whether you look at ancient historians or at modern historians. They testify that Jesus was crucified. Amen. For example, Tacitus, who was born in 56 A.D., said the author of that sect was Christ, who in the reign of Tiberius was punished with death as a criminal by the procurator Pontius Pilate. Annals 15:44. H.G. Wells said he was crucified upon the hill called Golgotha. Vincent M. Scaramuza translated, but Paul M. McKendrick says, in the ancient world, Pilate sentenced Jesus to death by crucifixion. Not only did Jesus say he was crucified, the New Testament eyewitnesses say he was crucified. Historians say he was crucified. Furthermore, the Jews claim he was crucified. In the Encyclopedia Judaica, volume 10, page 12, it is said, the Roman governor Pontius Pilate ultimately had Jesus executed in the Roman way by crucifixion. The Jews make that claim. In the Standard Jewish Encyclopedia, page 1034, it is said of Jesus, he was arrested and crucified by the order of the Roman procurator Pontius Pilate. The point that I'm making is, how did he die? Jesus said, I am going to be crucified. The New Testament writer said he was crucified. Historians agree that he was crucified. The Jews say that he was crucified, and even the enemies of Christ in the early ages testify that Jesus was crucified. Trifo, it was said, he who is called your Christ was crucified. Celsus in 176 A.D. referred to him as the crucified Jesus. The point that I'm making is the proposition says Jesus the Messiah is the Son of God, was crucified. He claimed he would be. The writer said we saw him when he was. Historians acknowledge it. Jews acknowledge it. Furthermore, the enemies of Christ acknowledge it. These are people that lived hundreds of years before Mohammed came and said it was not true. Which will you believe? People who were eyewitnesses, who there saw it, who saw it take place, and early historians, or somebody that comes along 600 years later who was not present and says it did not happen. I maintain that these show plainly that Jesus was crucified. Now we raise this question. How much time do we have? Let's have the next chart, Jeff. About 9 minutes. Very good. Very good. Chart number 2. We have on the chart, why did Christ die? We have seen that he died, that he died by crucifixion. Why did he die? I call your attention to the statement that Jesus made about why he died. He said, the Son of Man has come to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom for many. What is a ransom? Something given in exchange for something else. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, this is my blood, listen, that is shed for many for the remission of sin. Why did Jesus say he was going to die? He said, I am going to die for a ransom, as a ransom. I am going to die for the remission of sin. Furthermore, another eyewitness, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. The point that I'm making is the record, the historical documents, claim that Jesus said he would give his life a ransom, that his blood would be for remission of sins, that he would take away the sin of the world. Furthermore, those men that he inspired to send out to preach, that's exactly what they preached. Paul said Christ died for our sins. Paul did not say this until after Jesus had made the claim, after John the Baptist had made the claim, after Peter had made the claim, and after John the Apostle had. I submit to you, it did not originate with Paul. Jesus made the claim himself. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible seed like silver or gold from your vain manner of life, but he said with precious blood, even the blood of Christ. Please note that. Redeemed. How? By the precious blood of Christ. Remember, this Peter is the one that said he was an eyewitness. We did not follow cunningly devised fables, he said, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And so we are suggesting to you that according to the New Testament record, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that Jesus not only was crucified, but that he was crucified for the sins of the world. He claimed he would be. John the Baptist said he was, or he claimed he would be crucified. The apostles said they saw him crucified. Historians acknowledge that he was crucified. The Jews admit that he was crucified. Even the enemies say that he was crucified. And then we see how he was crucified for our sins. Not only that, Jackie, I would like to have chart number 9, please. We are raising the question on this chart, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Here are some statements that were made hundreds of years before Jesus lived. These documents were in existence when Jesus came to the earth and had been for 100 years. For example, we can't see that, can we? Turn out the lights back there. Are they? I need help on the lights question, not on the light question. All right, in Isaiah 53, there is one that the record said would be wounded for our transgression. I raise the question, of whom speaketh the prophet this? 700 years before Jesus was born, he said, somebody is going to be wounded for our transgression. Somebody is going to be bruised for our iniquities. Somebody is going to have laid on him the iniquities of us all. I raise the question, of whom speaketh the prophet this? If he is not speaking of Jesus, who is he talking about? Is he talking about Mohammed? No. Mohammed would not even make the claim. My friend will not make the claim that the prophet was talking about Mohammed. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? An inspired man began at that scripture and preached Jesus. Acts chapter 8, about verse 35. So I'm suggesting that a prophet, hundreds of years before Jesus came, said somebody will be wounded for our transgression. He will be bruised for our iniquity. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel said within the space of 70 weeks, and when you run that out, it'll bring you right to the days of Jesus Christ. In that period of time, somebody is going to finish transgression. He's going to make an end of sin. He's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. I raise the question, of whom speaketh the prophet this? The Bible shows, and shows very clearly, that the prophet who said that had reference to Jesus Christ. Raise it up just a little. In Zechariah chapter 12, you didn't raise it up, you ran it off the side. In Zechariah chapter 12, the Bible spoke about somebody that would be pierced. And then in chapter 13, verse 1, said there would be a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. The New Testament makes the claim in John the 19th chapter that had reference to Jesus Christ. That John said, I saw him when he was pierced, and he said it came to pass that it might be fulfilled, which was said, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. I say, not only did Jesus make the claim that he would be crucified, but that he was crucified, eyewitnesses saw him, and furthermore that historians acknowledge it, that the Jews acknowledge it, that the enemies acknowledge it, but he said, I am going to be crucified for the sins of the world. Give my life a ransom for many. Not only did Jesus make that claim, but others who were present, like John the Baptist, made the claim. Then the apostles made the claim. And then we have seen that the prophets foretold that this was going to happen hundreds of years before it ever came to pass. So I submit to you that this shows conclusively, proof positive, that Jesus not only is the Son of God, but that he was crucified, He was crucified for the sins of the world, and that's my proposition. That's what my proposition claims, and I believe that I have substantiated it. I'm looking to see if I've overlooked anything that Dr. Elder Rear had said. He made a number of claims about different ways that the word Son is used in the Bible. We recognize that. We teach that. Teach it very emphatically. But more than that, it is used in the claim of being deity, claim of godhood. The Jews said, because you call God your own Father, you made yourself equal with God. Jesus showed not only that he did make that claim, but had the right to make it. He said that men may honor the Son even as they honor the Father in John chapter 5. I submit. Is that the time? I appreciate you listening. No, that was...